Okay, we're going to start today from Kuf Aleph on the Bet. We ended with the Dayanim have to choose a place to do the Chalitza. We talked about this. We saw a case. Here, we'll start from here. Rav Papa v'Rav Huna, about nine lines from the bottom. Great Rav Yoshua, Avde Uvda b'chamisha. Okay, they did it with five. Okay. Kimat. So the Gemara asks, okay, I think I read this more like they were doing it like Rabbi Yehuda, but I realized after it's not really. We'll see in a minute. Kiman ki Rabbi Yehuda v'ha hadrabe. So then the answer, le persume milta, meaning they did it with five, not for halachic reasons. And sometimes you do things for halachic reasons. The persume milta wasn't for halachic reasons. It was just that they thought it would be better if we did it with five. Okay, and we're going to see a whole bunch of cases where they made sure to have five people. Okay, but the way they understand it is that the five people are not really because we need five judges. And there's a whole disagreement among the poskim whether when you have these five people, do they need to be the extra two? Do they have the same criteria as the first three? Or is it more that there's three dayanim and then we add, you know, or three at least who have the criteria, you know, the criteria? Because we said it's not really dayanim, it's head yotot, but still there's certain criteria like can't be a ger. So we're going to actually see there's a sugya right now which talks about a ger, and they won't let him be part of it. So it's a little bit tricky exactly what the status of these extra two people are, but it seems that it's not really a halachic thing. However, it must have been done enough times because we see a bunch of stories about it. And again, it's like we talked about, they want everyone to know about it. They want to make sure either because we want to know that she's a chalitza, so she can't marry a kohen for the yuchus, or because we want to make sure people know that she can get remarried, and therefore we want people to hurry up and remarry her. Okay, so the next story is with Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi ikla lebe Rav Kahana. He came to the house of Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says to him, "Amalei selik mar legaban lemiluye bechamisha. Come up now, because I want you to come be part of this group of people. We're doing a chalitza, and I want you to be part of the five." Amar Rav Kahana. Hava ka'imna kameja Rav Yehuda va'amali tasak lezirza dekane litzdrufe bechamisha. Now Rav Kahana says, okay, this is a story. Rav Ashi came to Rav Kahana. Now Rav Kahana says, when I came to Rav Yehuda, he said to me, come up to my bed of reeds. Okay, apparently that was like, remember we said they had to set aside an area? So he designated this pile of reeds, and that's where we're going to do the chalitz. That's a little strange that he does it specifically there. We're going to see another case where he also did it there. I guess that was Rav Yehuda's kavua place for chalitza. To join the five people. Amrulo, lama li chamisha. So they said to him, right, Rav Kahana said, when I came before Rav Yehuda and he said to me, come up and join the five people. So here there's a bit of a different nusach, whether it's Amrele, whether Rav Kahana said to Rav Yehuda, or whether the people standing around said to him, Lama li chamisha? So Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ki heche de lemafarsim milta. I just want it to be known. Again, not for halachic reasons, but I want to make sure it's done publicly.
I have a question. In the pasuk, doesn't it say hashara, like you should come to the gate? So
yeah.
So
why wouldn't it be at the gate specifically?
At the gate, also, wouldn't that be help to be like
it's true. So it does say they go to the gate, but for whatever reason, the rabbis learned, that was what we saw just before, that from that pasuk they learned that you have to set aside a place.
Right.
I guess not every city had a shahar, first of all, you know, especially if you're living in Israel and you're the autonomy, so you can set up court in the shahar of the city. But if you're living somewhere else, you know, where things aren't so good, you know, it's not as easy. It could have been historically, although in the time of the Mishnah it should have been okay, but in the time of the Gemara already, right, which is when they're talking, it might not have been so simple for them to set up in the shahar of the city. So as long as they set aside a particular place, then that's okay.
Sorry, Mordechai also sits by
sits
the
in the shahar, yes.
I remember reading that's where people judged.
Right.
The shahar they judged.
Right, but already the time period is later.
Yeah.
That's again, and maybe, I think in general today, we're dealing with a lot of issues that are different depending on the reality of your time period. So maybe the shahar is one of them, where they sit and judge is going to be different. And the other thing we're going to see is what kind of shoes they wore and what shoes they were talking about, and we're going to have a lot of discussion about shoes today. Okay, so now the next story is going to be with Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Okay, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda appeared at the top of the page. Okay, he appears on the seventh line. It says Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Lechidetane Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. He brought a braita. Okay, that says, I'm just going back. B'Yisrael, they darshan the word B'Yisrael. If you remember, one said it was to teach you Hedyotot, Rabbi Yehuda, and then according to Rabbanan, what do you do with it? So they say, ah, you need it for what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda brought a bride. So he's an Emorah. He brought a bride. So it says, Be'Beit Din Shel Yisrael, V'lo Be'Beit Din Shel Gerim. In order to do Chalitza, it has to be done in a Beit Din of Yisrael and not of Gerim. So now, what do they ask? What's the important point you have to know here? Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was from a family of Gerim. Okay? It's not clear whether, clearly his father converted because he's called Bar Yehuda, but it's not clear whether he converted also, maybe he and his father converted, whether he converted, it's not clear at what point he converted or maybe just his family was converts, but it's interesting that he specifically is the one who says it can't be in a Beit Din Shel Gerim. Okay? Now, it gets even more interesting because here's a story about him. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Havakai Kamei de Rav Yehuda, Amar li Sata Lezir Zedekani, come up to my bundle of reeds, leitzrufe lebei chamisha lepersume milta. Amar lei, he says to him, Tanina, b'Yisrael, b'beitin shel Yisrael v'lo b'beitin shel Gerim. Okay? Maybe this is why, by the way, this could be the source. This could be why he's the one who brought it, because maybe when they asked him, why do you come? He said, but wait, it says, I'm a ger, and I can't be part of this. V'ana ger, ana, okay? Amar Rav Yehuda, so now, It's very unclear what happens here, okay? There could be a bunch of possible outcomes, but the Gemara actually doesn't really tell them. The only thing we see here is Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Kigon Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda mafikna mamona apume. So what does that mean? I would be motzi mama, I would take money from someone and give it to someone else, meaning if Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, so-and-so owes someone else money and they haven't paid it back yet, I would trust him, okay? So now they say, what do you mean? Mafikna salkadata? How could you say you'd be motzi money based on his testimony? Ha, alpishnaya medin. You need two witnesses. He can't be so strong and so amazing that he counts as two witnesses. So, alpishnaya medin, amar rahmana, the Torah says. Ela, miran ashtara pume. I would allow him to claim the validity of a shtar. Let's say you have an IOU. Okay? So he can testify that the shtar was never paid back. And for that, I would trust him. Okay? That's what he's saying, basically. So not that he would count as witnesses, it would be a shtar that had witnesses signed on it, and it just wasn't clear whether it was paid back or not, and I would trust him to say that. Okay, but now what do you see here? It sounds like, okay, it's a little unclear from the sugya, it sounds like he's really, really trustworthy, but we can only use him for mamon issues and not for chalitza. Okay.
Sounds to me almost like he's coming to say, or Yehuda's coming to say, all right, he's just disqualified from this. Let me give him public chizuk that nonetheless, even though he can't
right.
be judged, I would rely on his word entirely.
Right. So another option is to say, you're right, you can't be a Beit Din Shel Gerim, and this is what we started with. That this five people, we said that you need three people for chalitza. The five is just lefarsemet hadavar, to make it more publicly known. So it could be that he's saying, he doesn't really say this explicitly. That's a bit of the problem here. But it could be that, oh, because what does he say? I want to join you to the five, for the five. What does it mean, join you for the five? Does it mean I want you to be the extra two? And as maybe he could function as the extra two because you're very reliable. Okay, you're very important. And therefore, you can come to be part of the five, just not the three. It's unclear what goes on here, okay, what the conclusion is. Okay, Amar Rava. Now we're going to get a little bit into Gerim. Ger danet chavero dvar Torah, shenemar, som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo, mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. So now, what does it say? Mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. So what do we learn from here? First of all, we make a comparison between a king and a judge, okay? And maybe shotrim, you know, all like the leaders, okay? That it's the same criteria. What do we say here? Alecha hu debi'ina mikerev achecha. Aval ger danet chavero. It's almost like the ger can marry a ger, so also the ger can judge a ger. Okay? Now the issue is a ger can't judge someone who's in a level above him. This goes back to the whole hierarchy of the society that we talked about that existed in those days. That the ger was in a different category, so he can't judge a fellow Jew, but he can judge a fellow ger. Okay? V'im hayta imo miYisrael, Dan afilu Yisrael. Okay, this is a very, very strange line. Why is it strange? If his mother was from Yisrael, then he could even judge Yisrael. Well, if his mother's from Yisrael, he's not a ger.
Right.
So it sounds like they're talking about a ger whose mother's from Yisrael. So one option is to say, no, it just means how do we define who's a Jew, right? If his mother's from Israel and his father's a ger, that doesn't make him a ger. That makes him a Jew, okay? That could be one option. Another option could be if his mother's from Israel, and again, it's that case we saw in the Mishnah a few Mishnahs ago, if she got pregnant with him when she was still a non-Jew, and then she converted while she was pregnant, so his mother was a Jew because he was born to a Jew, maybe that's the issue? It's unclear. Okay, le'inyan chalitza, but now, what are we seeing? For chalitza, ad she'e aviv imo mi'Yisrael. She'ne'amar v'nikrash mo bi'Yisrael. Okay, his name has to be known bi'Yisrael, meaning the ones who judge him have to be fully Yisrael, okay, mother and father, which seems to imply that Imaitai Momi Yisrael seems to be his mother was Jewish and his father was a convert. That makes more sense in the context of the next line. And then for your chalitza, you need all of them. Okay. Now, I just wanted to, halacha lemaaseh here, okay, what do we do with a ger convert? They had a good note here that kind of summarized. Okay, so here, I'm just going to read a little bit of the Koran. They say here, the majority of early commentaries disagree, and okay, that's fine, I'm not reading the part before, but anyway, they say there's three different categories, most of them. When it comes to capital punishment, so a convert can only judge other converts. In monetary cases, we make a distinction, and that's what we get from what he said, I would trust him in money issues. So in monetary cases, they say if your mother's from Israel, then you can judge, okay? And he can be in any position of leadership. But to be an appointed king and to act for judges for chalitza, then you need to have a convert from both. You can't be a convert right at all. You have to have both parents.
Is this full-fledged? An Israeli law?
Well, Israeli law, no, but modern. Jewish law. Modern Israeli law, no, but in a Beit Din Rabbani, I would assume it still applies. And the Rambam states a third, which is a really interesting one, a very controversial, that a convert can't be in any position of authority, which is very, if you think of the Rambam in the context of where he was living and, you know, in Muslim countries and his attitude toward women, it makes sense that he also had an attitude toward giving, you know, that it was sort of this kind of society where it was, again, more hierarchical.
You have to be born in America to be the president.
Right, it's true. It's true. That's a really good comparison that you're making, Sherry, that in America, you have to be born in America in order to be president of the country. And yeah, this is the same thing.
It's only one, and as opposed to all judges are all...
Right, well, that's why the Rambam extends it. In other words, to say king, we can understand. But to say any position of authority, that's already going far beyond, anything, right? Like you can be in the House of Representatives, you can be a senator, you can be all sorts of things. You just can't be the top guy. Okay, but the Rambam is machmir in this. Okay, back to the pictures I want to show you. Okay, so now, Amar Rav Kahana. Okay, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar chotzim b'min'al shom'in lo. This is a really interesting one. It gets even more. If Eliyahu Rabbi were to come today and say, you can do chalitza with a na'al. Okay, now we're going back to this chalitza with a na'al, chalitza with a sandal. Okay, what we're going to see in a second is that generally people did chalitza with a sandal, not a min'al. Now our Mishnah said, you could do chalitza, if you did chalitza with a min'al, it's kshera. Our whole question here is going to be, does that mean kshera? We talked about the Mishnah, if you remember all those cases. Most of them we said it's bidyevet, right? You shouldn't lechatchila go do it like this, like if you have regal small and you put it on regal yamin, right? Ideally, it's supposed to be your right shoe on your right foot. If you have a problem, so you could do it, and that's kasher. And then there's other cases that are pasul. So now the question is, when it says chotzim b'min'al in our Mishnah, does it mean lechatchila or bidyevet? Okay, that ideally you can do a min'al, or it's less than ideal. And then later on, you're going to have to wait a little bit. We're going to see what the issue is with a min'al. So now, the first imra is by Rabbah. And Rabbah says in the name of Rav Kahana, in the name of Rav, that if Eliyahu were to come today and say, you can do chalitza with a min'al, we could listen to him and do it. But if he would say, ein chotzim b'sandal, ein shomim lo, here's the interesting part, shekvar nahagu ha'am b'sandal. Minhag can override halacha even, right? This isn't exactly halacha, but this is nevuah, right? If a nevi were to come and say, the halacha is against the general minhag, we don't listen, okay? Rav Yosef now says in the name of Rav Kahana, in the name of Rav, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar, ein chotzim b'min'al shomim lo. If he were to tell us, you can't do chalitza b'min'al, then you can listen to him. But if he, and now the second part's exactly the same. Ein chotzin b'min'al b'sandal, ein shomin lo shekvar nahagua b'sandal. So now they're going to say, what's the difference? My binai, what's the difference between whether you say that if Eliyahu were to come and he would say, you can do chalitza with a min'al, we would listen? Or Eliyahu would come and say, we can't do chalitza with a min'al, we could listen to him. Ika binai u'min'al l'chatchila. This is our question. Is a min'al l'chatchila mutar or not? So if Eliyahu comes and says, you can do chalitza b'min'al, what does that imply? That now, l'chatchila, it's no good. It's only if he were to come and tell us it would be good, then it would be good. But the assumption is that right now, l'chatchila, it's not good. If he were to come and say, ein chotzin b'min'al, that implies that right now, chotzin b'min'al l'chatchila. Okay, so that's the machloka between the two readings. So basically, if you had to say there's a machloka, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, is chalitza b'min'al l'chatchila asr or only b'diyet? I'm sorry, l'chatchila, right, l'chatchila asr or l'chatchila mutar? Okay, everyone agrees that b'diyevet it's mutar. So now they're going to tell us, ulaman da'amar afilu l'chatchila, now if you're going to say that even l'chatchila you could do it, v'hatznan, here we're going to have a proof, chalitza b'min'al chalitza tak shera. Sorry, there's a problem. Sorry, there's another place where it says hatan on the head of my head. That's a proof. Here it's saying, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says, chalsabim in al chalitza tak shera. Di evid in lechatchila lo, right? What did we say when we read the Mishnah? At least we assumed, right? It sounds like all these cases are b'di'evid. So now they say, no, you could read it differently. You could read, hu adin da afilu lechatchila. And like we always say, va'aydi dibay lemit nasefa ba'an pilya chalitza ta psula. Tafilu diavad, tana namiresha diavad. Okay, so what are we saying? Since the next thing was, this is pasul, even diavad. So they said, and this is kasher, even diavad. In other words, it said it in the lashon of diavad, even though it doesn't even say b'diavad, right? When you say it's kshera, the assumption is it means, ideally don't do it, but it is kasher if you do it. But here they're saying they had to say that because they were just trying to compare it to the case where it was pasul. So they said, that's kshera, that's psula. But you could still read it as saying, l'chatchila, it's also good. Okay. Now we're going to find out that this machloka, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, whether it's l'chatchila mutar or not, is based on a machloka tana'im. Okay, not only were they the ones who had this argument, also tana'im had this argument tonight. D'tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, pam achat halachti l'nitzivim. Matzati zaken echad. Amarti lo, kluma tabaki b'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Okay, I went to the city of Nitzivim. I found a zaken. I said to him, do you know, you hang out with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? You know him well? I'm really hang. He said, yes, I do. Val shulchani hu tadir. Okay, he eats in my house all the time. Okay, here you see, right, people would feed the rabbis, right? Klum ra'ita shechalatz b'yevama. Did you ever see him perform a chalitza, right? This doesn't mean he did the chalitza. It means he was the rabbi officiating, the dayan officiating at the chalitza. Amar lo ra'iti shechalatz harbe pa'amim. So now he asks him, here's his big question. Okay, you can see this was a big issue. Bimin al o b'sandal? Okay, what did he use? Amar li, b'chi chotzim bimin al? Okay, can we do it with a min al? In other words, no way. Okay, I never saw him do it, and nobody does chalitza with him in al. Amarti lo, im ken, ma ra'a Rabbi Meir lomar chalitza b'min al chalitza tak shera. Okay, if so, why did Rabbi Meir say that it's kasher b'di'evet? Okay, so here you see an opinion that says it's kasher b'di'evet, but not l'chatchila, okay? Because one guy said not at all, right? And he reacts and he says, but if he never did it, right, he should have been able to do it, because Rabbi Meir says it's mutar b'di'evet l'fachot. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo, but here the Braita continues, and here's going to be the other opinion. Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chotzim b'min'al l'chatchila. Okay, you can even do it l'chatchila. Okay? So there's our machloket tana'im. Now we're going to find out why. Uman da'amar l'chatchila lo, my time, I lema mishum dahavya panta me'al va'arkata me'al va'arkata me'al de me'al. Okay, now here we're saying there's two parts of the shoe. Okay? So the panta, okay, I'm looking in the language section of the Quran. They explain that the panta refers to the leather on the upper part of the shoe. And the arkata, okay, they're not exactly sure what all these things are, but they think it's the upper part of the shoe that covers the foot. Okay, the point being here, some people claim it's part of the shoe that covers the shins. The point being here is that a min'al has a part above, and then there was another part above that. Okay? And what do they say? When she takes off the shoe, says chaltzana alo me'al raglav. It has to come off from his foot. But if there's a part that comes off, that's on top of the part that comes, that's on his foot, there's two levels. They say not me'al de me'al. It has to be me'al raglo and not me'al de me'al. We're going to see other cases of this. So the sense was that the shoe had two different parts to it. And because of that, again, this is very hard to understand because we don't know the reality of their shoes, of what exactly they look like. So everything is really conjecture. V'Torah amra me'al v'lo me'al de me'al. So then they say, well, ihachi afilu di'eved nami lo. So then what do you mean? Right? Di'eved, be di'eved, it shouldn't work either. Zera mishum. Okay, so now they say, so that can't be the reason. Okay, so they reject it, because if it's really me'al de me'al, that wouldn't work. And then it wouldn't work b'di'evet or l'chatchila, right? It's not, that wouldn't explain why you can't do a l'chatchila, but yes, b'di'evet. So what do they say? It's one of two options. Either it's gzera mishum min'al mirupat, okay, which is also not clear what exactly that is. Some people say it's a torn leather shoe, okay? We're worried if it's torn from above. Okay, so one second. Right, some people say it's unstable. Okay, Rabbeinu Chananel says it's unstable. It's some sort of shoe that might fall off of you. That's not really a good shoe. And because of that, it doesn't fully cover his foot. And because of that, it's not really a shoe. Okay, so we don't allow a regular shoe. Here's the gzera part, right? This is why it's l'chatchila lo b'di'evet kein. Because it's a gzera. Because we're worried that a lot of shoes might rip at the top, but yet you still wear them. Whereas a sandal, if it rips, the sandal's hard. So if a sandal breaks, you can't wear it at all. A shoe that's soft, you can still get away with wearing. Okay? If it tears. What'd you say?
It's also less likely to. A shoe that's soft is more likely to tear.
Right, it's more likely to tear also, right? A sandal's more solid. Okay? Inami mishum chatzi min'av. Some people might do it with half a shoe because the chalitza shoe has to cover most of your foot, and there are some soft shoes that don't cover most of your foot, and yet you can still wear them. So again, like I said, it's a little hard to understand the reality here, but there seems to be concern that you might not wear a shoe that's worthy enough for chalitza, and therefore any shoe that in theory would be worthy for chalitza, we don't allow you to wear because you might come to do chalitza with a shoe that wouldn't be worthy of doing chalitza with. Okay. Amarav, ilav de chamite lechavive, de chalatz besandal de it le shinsin, ana lo havi chalitzna ele besandala de taya, de mihadik tfe. If it weren't for my uncle, okay, he calls him chavive, that's Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was Rav's uncle, okay, we've seen their relationship before. He says, if it weren't for the fact that he used a sandal that had shinsin, okay, shinsin has laces. Okay, and the point is that it wasn't tied tight. Okay, so he says if the point is they want a sandal that ties very tightly, and this is what we actually use today. I'll show you the pictures now. He says otherwise, if it weren't for that, I would have always insisted that we use a sandal of the Arabs, which is more tight fitting. Okay, here's a chalitza sandal. Okay, we're gonna see here. One second, I think we go on a little bit more. Bahadi dan apagav di ipe chumrata katrina be mitna ki echid tahave chalitza mal yata. Okay, and now he's saying that's the end of what he says. And then the Gemara says that when it comes to our sandals, even though it doesn't have this ring to make sure it doesn't fall off, we're going to see what this chumrata is. I'll show you in a minute. We tie a strap to it to make it tighter. Okay, so here's a shoe. Okay, if anyone who has the Koran, you could look at it. It's like a sandal type shoe. The straps go all the way up, and then there are these places where it ties. Like there's a knot that you both have straps that go around, and you have these pieces that tie the pieces of leather of the shoe that go. It's a shoe that goes up your leg, basically. Okay. For those who are listening online, you can Google it, a chalitza shoe, and you'll find a picture of it. So basically, there are ties that put the leather together, and then there's a strap that goes all the way up, and that ensures that the shoe stays on properly. Because if a shoe that falls off is not going to be good. So therefore, we try to take something that's very tight. Okay, siman for the next few sections. Hatara, yivama, sandal. Okay, that's just telling you what sections are coming up. Amar of Yehuda, Amarav. Hatarat yivama l'shuk b'shmitat rov ha'akev. Okay, you have to You have to take off most of, okay, here it's unclear, probably the heel of the shoe. Okay, how much of the shoe does she have to remove? The whole thing, here they say most of the akev. So now they say, meitive, wait, there's a koshi on this. Hutru ritzuot min al v'sandal, o sheshamat rov haregel, chalitzata psula. Tam ad shamat hu, ha shamtahi chalitzata kshera. Here it says, if hutru the ritzuot, or the sandal, o sheshamat rov haregel, if he did it, then it's no good. So what does it sound like? It sounds like if she were to be shomei, take off most of the regel of the shoe, most of the let, right? Again, what does regel mean exactly? We'll see in a second. Okay? But it sounds like if she were to take off most of the regel, meaning, right, it would be good, which sounds like rov ha'akev. And we just, right, which sounds like she doesn't need to do rov ha'akev. Rov regel is enough. Now remember, think about it. Why do they think rov regel isn't rov ha'akev? Because regel can mean foot, regel can mean leg. And here the shoe is on most of the, it goes up the leg, right? It's not a regular shoe that we think about. It's this shoe that went up the leg. So basically the assumption is if she takes off the straps and then takes off the part that's on most of his leg, covering most of his leg, that would be okay. But then the Gemara answers, lo, hainu rov haregel, hainu rov ha'akev. That means the same thing. V'amai karula rov haregel, dekule chayla dekare ale dachis. Okay, then, one second. Right, because most of the foot rests on the heel. So when they say rov haregel, it means where most of the foot pressure is. That's on your heel. Your heel is considered the majority. Okay? So now we basically say she has to take off most of, you know, most of the heel of the shoe. Misayel el Rabbi Yana. This supports Rabbi Yana's opinion. Da'am Rabbi Yana, bein shehitir hu v'shamtahi, bein shehitir ahi v'shamatu. Okay? Whether she was matir and he was matir the ritzuot and she took off the shoe, or she untied it but he took off the shoe. Chalitzata psula, ad shetatir hi v'tashmiti. She has to take off the whole shoe. Okay? What we see here is that the chalitza, what's important is the actual act of chalitza, right? The spitting is important, but also she has to actually take the shoe off of him. Symbolic, I assume, of, right?
So it says in the Torah, right, she has to.
Right, exactly. So they're coming from the Torah and saying the act has to be done by her, okay? And I assume it's symbolic of her taking something off of him, like he's shirking his responsibility.
It's very demeaning.
Right, it is very demeaning. It's a very demeaning ceremony, and it's difficult. Yes,
down in front of all these men.
Yes, and to spit in his shoe. I mean, it's also demeaning for him, but yes, it's very demeaning for her to have to do this. Right, you think about how they talked about that it was embarrassing for her to just stand in line for the truma and how sensitive they were to that. And yet this ceremony, again, there's nothing the rabbis can do about it because the Torah says this is what has to happen. So they can't change what the Torah says.
Right, and she's a widow. She's all, I mean,
right. It's a very difficult ceremony. Any woman who's gone through it will tell you it's not a very pleasant ceremony. Neither is divorce. You know, getting a divorce is also an unpleasant ceremony for the woman. Okay. Rabbi Yana karatu, by Rabbi Yana, karatu mahu, sraftu mahu. Okay, now, what if she rips the shoe off of him? In other words, she rips it while it's on his foot, so it's still on his foot, but it's ripped, so now there's like no shoe. Or she burns it on his foot, she throws a coal onto it. Okay? Giluye kara b'ina, does she need to reveal his foot? Is that the issue? That he's supposed to be in a way that everyone can see his foot? V'ha'ika, and that does work if she rips it. Odilma chalitza v'ina v'leka. Or does she have to remove it? Is it that act of removing or the act of making sure there's no shoe there anymore? Teku, we don't know the answer. Ba'i minei Rabbi Nechemya mirabba. Shnei minalim zel gav zemahu. What if he was wearing two pairs of shoes? Hey chidami, what's the case? Ile ma dishlafte li'ilai v'katatai me'al. Sorry, v'kaitatai. If it's that she pulls off the first one and the bottom one is still there, me'al am a rachman of lo me'al de me'al. Obviously, that's not going to work. That can't even be the question because she has to take it me'al raglo and not on top of something that's sitting on a shoe. That's what we said before. Lo tzricha de karate li ilai v'shalafte li tatai. What if she rips the top one, she tears it so that it gives her access to the bottom one, but she doesn't take off the top shoe? So the top shoe is still left on. She reveals his foot because she pulls off the bottom shoe and the top one's open, but it's still on him. So now, right, v'kai ilai, and the elyon is still there. Ma'e chalitza b'inam v'ha'ika. Does she need to actually remove it? And she did remove a shoe here. Odilma giluye kara b'inam v'leik. Or does she just need to reveal his foot? And his foot is his foot's not totally revealed because he still has the ripped shoe on it. Omi ika ki agavna. Would this really happen? Okay, this is great because we always ask that question and the Gemara rarely asks it, right? And as they're saying, what are you talking about, this double shoe? Who wears double shoes, right? Does this ever really happen? So the Gemara answers in, yes. Dechazyuhu rabbanan l'Rav Yehuda denafik b'cham shezuze moke l'shuka. He would wear five pairs of shoes. It sounds like, you know, those rabbis who wear like five pairs of tefillin or five, right, 11, I don't know. There's this Gedolim who wear lots of, right, to be Yossi, all the opinions. Anyway, this guy had five, he would go out, Rav Yehuda would go out with five pairs of shoes to the shuk, so it could happen. Okay, that's just an interesting side point, which I find interesting because the Gemara almost never asked that question. Amar Rav Yehuda Amara, Yivama shehigdila ben ha'achim. This is a really interesting one. If the Yivama grew up hanging out with all the brothers of her husband, okay, muteret linaseh le'achad min ha'achim ve'en choshashim shema chaltza sandal le'achad mehem. What are we concerned about? That maybe while she was hanging out with his brothers, maybe once she took off one of their shoes, right? And then, without being intending to do it, she performed chalitza. Okay? Now, if she performs chalitza, what did we learn? Once chalitza is done, the brothers can't do yibum with her anymore. So maybe...
But chalitza is more than just that. Chalitza is also the spitting part.
Yes, this obvious... Okay, so look, this is true with every ceremony, right? We learn in halacha, there's so many details to every halacha. But for example, okay, Sfirat HaOmer, I'll give you an example, right? We all know this, that you're not supposed to say when the night starts, it's the 18th day, right? Why? Because you're yotzei the mitzvah by saying it's the 18th day, even though the mitzvah has to be done in a proper way, with the bracha, etc. But if you just happen to say the nusach without meaning to be yotzei the mitzvah, you could be yotzei the mitzvah. So same thing here, they're saying. Maybe you have to worry. They're going to say no, but the point is no. But they're suggesting that maybe if she were to have done the act at some point in her life, that's considered chalitza. So now they say no. Tama de lo chazina. Okay, so first they want to say, what are we going to infer from this thing? This is a halach. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, if she hung out with her brothers, she's still allowed to marry them, and we're not concerned, you have to be very careful with the words here, we're not concerned that maybe at some point she pulled off a shoe of one of them. So the Gemara infers from here, Tama, the reason why it's okay for her to marry them, is de lo chazinan, because we didn't see that she took off a shoe of his. As we're worried maybe she did at some point. But it implies that ha chazinan, if we saw that she actually removed one of their shoes at some point, chayshinan, we would be choshesh. Okay? And therefore, if we knew that at some point in her life she had pulled off a shoe, we'd be choshesh. And then the Gemara is going to ask a question on that. The ha tanya, but doesn't it say in a braita, bein shenit kaven hu velo nitkavna hi, bein shenit kavna hi velo nitkaven hu, chalitzata psula ad shitkavnu shnehem ke'echad. Okay, so now they're going to say no. Chalitza is unique, and we've seen this with certain halachot about certain things need kavanah and certain things don't need kavanah, and right? So this halacha needs not only kavanah, but kavanah of both sides. If you were to do the act without kavanah of both sides, it wouldn't work at all. So therefore they say, so now we have to reread what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav and not imply what we thought it implied, but this is what it implies. Hachi kamar. Af agav de chazinan, even if we saw that she pulled off his shoe, okay, we're not worried. Maybe they had intent to do the act of chalitza while they were pulling off the shoe. Right? I don't know if this reminds you of this. But this reminds me of when I was growing up, they always talked about, you know, be careful. People would take like the top of the soda can. There was that case. There's a famous case that actually really did happen where some kid took the top of the soda can and said, Haram Mikudeshali, gave her the ring, you know, this ring from the soda cans, and they had to actually get a divorce misafik. Okay, this. Kid, and then,
that's exactly what I was
and then, you know, right, she's now, she can't marry a Kohen, right? So it's a huge problem.
But the Gemara just went through this whole 3-4 pages about how it's not valid unless it's in front of witnesses.
Right.
I mean, it seems like even a specious question.
Well, it didn't say it's not valid. In other words, again, it has to be done in a certain way, ideally. But again, there's always, if it wasn't done ideally, but you still had, it's also, okay, let's take that case of Harat Mekudeshetli. They're not really married, okay? That's not a marriage, but it's a marriage l'chumra. And you make her get a get misafik. So this might not be a good chalitza, but it's a chalitza misafik to then say, we're not going to allow the other brothers to do yibum, they have to all be choletz. okay, or one of them has to do chalitza. In other words, there's no, that's what it means. It means we're going to treat it l'chumra, that we're going to say, possibly this chalitza maybe has some validity, and therefore we're not going to allow, the isser of lo yakim is going to come into play, and therefore they can't, no, they can no longer marry. That's, there's a lot of cases in halacha. We're going to see a lot when we get to, you know, kiddushin and all these sapek kiddushin cases where you wouldn't call this a marriage, but because it has certain criteria of marriage, the basics, right? You've got the underlying basics. We're going to say no, and we're going to treat it l'chumra. The ika da'amre. Some people say we're going to read this differently. Ta'ama de'lo chazinan, ha chazinan choshushim. Some people say differently. That really, it's true that it's only because we didn't see. But if we were to see her, we would be choshesh. Udikatane by kavana. Okay, and now we're going to say exactly what I said a minute ago. But however, it says you need kavana. Hanimile lishjeruya la'alma. That's just if you want to matir this woman. There's two issues of chalitza. There's number one, it matirs her to get married. And number two, it forbids the other brothers from marrying her, right? So it matirs her to get married to anybody else, but it forbids the other brothers. So now they're going to say, that's the shtiruya l'alma. In order to allow her to marry someone else and say, yibum is done, we're finished, we can check this off and you can go marry anyone you want, that you need kavana. But la'achim mifsala. But even if they didn't have kavana, she's still pasul to the other achim, and the issue of lo yakim, it applies already. Okay, now we're going to get into more types of shoes.
Would she have to do another chalitza?
Okay, one of the brothers would have to, I would assume not the one she did it with already, although maybe, I wonder.
That he would just do it the second time.
Maybe, but she already did an act with him. It's a good question. I don't know who would have to do it if there's a distinction, but definitely someone would need to do it. I guess if he's the only brother also, then for sure he'd need to do it because someone needs to do it. So I guess it would be okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Sandal hatafur bepishtan. Ein chotzimbo. Okay, this is explained to be, I think, like it's cushioned. Is this the one? Oh, no. It was just, okay. Some people think that we're talking about the inside or something. Here, 1 second. Let me just... do this. Right. Rashi has two different explanations. One is that it's a shoe that has the flax lining inside of it, sewn to it. And other people say, no, the parts of the shoe were sewn together in flax, because why would the lining have any relevance here? Okay? So there's two different opinions about it. So sandal tafur bepishtan ein cholzim bo, shenemar ve'en alchatach. This is a pasuk from Yechezkel. Okay, a tachash is not clear what it is. Some people say it's a narwhal. Okay, some people actually, there's this guy, Yehuda Felix, he's a botanist, and he deals with all sorts of these kind of things that come up in the Talmud, or Mishnah, and he claims that it's a giraffe, actually. but anyway, it's some sort of animal that has like some sort of whale, or a giraffe, or something, where his skin is obviously leather. Okay, so now... Ve'ema. So basically, what are you saying? It can't be pishtan. It has to be from leather. So ve'ema tachash in midyachrin alo. So why don't we learn from this pasuk that it has to be the leather of a tachash and not some other animal? So that says, no, na'al riba. It says na'al twice in the pasukim. So therefore, it comes to teach you any kind of na'al, whether it's made from a tachash or whether it's made from something else. So they say, well, wait, but ina'al na'al riba, filakomi le'nami. It doesn't necessarily have to be leather then, right? If you're going to say na'al includes, right, what are you saying? It includes different types of animals, but it does not include different types of materials. So they're saying, why would you do that? Why don't you just say it includes all different kinds of materials? So im kein tachash mai. So then, well, what's the tachash doing? In other words, the tachash is telling us that it has to be leather, but it means it could be. But then the na'al comes to say, though, the type of it could be any kind of leather. Sorry, I didn't read the whole line. Im kein tachash mai hanile. In other words, what is it doing there in the pasuk? Bamine Rabbi Elazar mi Rav shel or utrisotav shel utarsiotav shel se'ar magu. Okay, what if the shoe is made of leather? But the tarsiyot, okay, here's a picture of tarsiyot. I'm going to pass it around. It's these leather straps, okay, that hold the foot together. Here's like a, before they had a diagram of a chalitza shoe, this is really like a real chalitza shoe, okay, like a shoe people wore then, like a picture of one rather than a diagram. Okay, so now what do they say? What if the shoe was or, but the straps were of se'ar? What we're seeing here is that there was a significance to her undoing the straps also. The straps were part of the shoe, and that was part of the undoing process. Amarle milo karina beba enachat achash. Isn't this also enachat achash? Because the shoe is or. So they say ihachi kula shel se'ar nami. Then maybe if the whole thing was se'ar, that would be okay. So they say no. Ha'u karka mikre. This is like, okay, you can either call karka a slipper or a moccasin. Okay, this would be something that's made of hairs. Here's a picture of a shoe made of hairs. Okay, that would be more like a moccasin type shoe, and that doesn't count. Okay, in other words, if the straps are of hairs, that works. But if not, okay, we could, if you guys want, you could start calling your slippers karka. Okay, with an aleph, not with an ayin, like ground. Okay, Amar Rav Kana l'Shmuel, mimai devahai v'chaltsana alome al raglo mishlafu. How do you know it means chaltsa means to take it off? Dichtiv v'chaltsu et ha'avanim asher bahem anega. They took them out, right? They removed them. Ve'ema ziruzehu. Maybe it means, and as, what are they doing basically? They're trying to find the etymology of the word chalitza. Where else does chalitza appear? So number one, it appears by negayim. You have to pull out, when you have nega beitel, you have to pull out the avanim where the nega is. So that sounds like she has to take it off. But maybe it means ziruzehu. She has to, you know, like, how do you explain it? The,
make it ready.
Right, make it happen. Get ready, right? Get your people ready. So they say no. Okay, it also means get them out to war, right? And it's still the lashon of taking them out. It's not just lizarezo time, right? Hurry up. Okay, what does that mean? His oni should be removed. Well. Right here, they want to say it means l'shlufim, right? Here it does mean to take out, but I guess they're trying to say maybe it's...
They're saying in both cases it means to remove.
To remove, okay. Right, I see. V'haktiv is the proof, right? Doesn't it say yechaletz ani ba'onyo? So then it says, bischar onyo yechaltsu midina shel gehenom. It means they'll be saved from the dina of gehenom because of their oni, they should be saved. Okay, and therefore, in which case, I guess it's saying that it's not necessarily, one second, it would then be not necessarily, originally they thought it means zeruz, sorry. Yechalet ani be'onyo means he should be strengthened. They're saying yechalet should be milashon to strengthen, okay, like, or, you know, to hurry, to do it with strength. So yechalet ani ba'onyo means he should be strengthened with his poverty, meaning he should be strengthened, he should get strength to get out of his poverty. So then they say, no, it means bischar onyo yechaltsu midina shel gehenom. It means, why does it say yechaltsu? It should have said yechaltsu ani me'onyo, from his poverty. It doesn't make sense to say he should be strengthened with his poverty, right? It should be strengthened from his poverty, so that can't be the meaning. What does it mean? Be'onyo means with the sachar of his oni, from what he suffered through, he should, right, this is Eov, by the way. It's a pasuk from Eov. No, it is. It's a pasuk from Eov. So it means, with the strength of his poverty, he should now be removed, right, from the dina of Gehenna. So they say, v'alahaktiv chonem alach Hashem saviv lire'av. Okay? So what does that seem to imply? Right? That, v'yichaltsem. Right? They should be strengthened, right? Right? Again, strength. So then they say, no, again, they should be freed from the din of genom. Okay, what does that mean? That your atzmot should be strengthened. Again. There's a whole list of these brachot here, and this is the best of them. Zeruze garme, right? Here it means, one second, zeruze garme, that it means, tilut atzamot means tikkun atzamot, it means to fix them. And therefore, right, to strengthen them. And therefore, that should be nilat stabrogol shalayabam. So again, it's a question that should be strengthening. So then they say, in, okay, they say yes, mash mahachi u mash mahachi. If you wanted to say strengthen the shoe on his foot, it should have said chatzana alo biraglo and ame al raglo. But if they would have said biraglo, they can't say biraglo because you would have thought it means on his regel and not on his shok. So lo b'shoko lo. So therefore, katar v'chamana me'araglo da'afilu b'shoko. And then in Cain, if that was the case, lichtar v'chamana b'me'araglo should have said from me'araglo. So my me'araglo shma mina mishlafu. Okay. So therefore, once it says me'araglo, it sounds like you have to be mishlaf. So what do they say basically? That you have to strengthen it on his foot and then you have to remove it. Okay? So, right, so in the end you learn, I didn't read this right. Okay, so let's just finish with this. So what are they saying? If it means, they're saying it could mean both. Okay? And therefore, if you want to say, chalitza dahacha, I see. Okay, I read this wrong. Let's go back. They're saying that it's true. Atzmotecha yachlitz could mean one or the other. But in our pasuk, it has to mean, okay, it can't mean zeruze, because it would have said chatzana alo biraglo. So now they're saying no. It could have meant lizeruze, to strengthen it on his foot, but they wouldn't have said biraglo, because you would have thought that it means biraglo and not b'shoko. Okay? And therefore, it has to say me'al raglo to teach you that it's dafke his regal and not his shuk. So then they say, well, then it should have said b'me'al raglo. If it wanted to say strengthen, it could have said b'me'al raglo. It could have said both the bit and the me'al. So then the fact that it says me'al raglo, they say it must be that he means to take it off. Okay, last little thing, which is just interesting in terms of the Christian-Jewish thing. Amaleahu mina. There was a min, okay, right? This was usually a Christian, who came to Rabban Gamliel. And he says to you, him, Ama dechalatz le mari mine, in am shechalatz lo adon mimenu. Okay, God removed his, right, this is what the Christians claim, right? We were the chosen people. And then God took his chosen people off of the Jewish people and moved it away from them. Dechtiv bitzonam ubukaram yelechu levakeshet Hashem velo yimtzu chalatz mehem. Here it says, right? They're going to go find God and they're not going to find him because he removed himself from them. Okay, here you see it means removing, right? They're just connecting the Lashon here. So Amar Leh, he says to him, Shoteh, you're stupid, right? An idiot. Miktiv chalatz lahem. It doesn't say he did chalitza to them. It says chalatz mehem ktiv. V'ilu yevama dechaltzu mina achim midi mashasha itbe. If the brothers did chalitza to her, would that mean anything? No. So therefore, this chalitza you're talking about means nothing. It's meaningless. Okay, that's just a little polemic of, the Christian-Jewish polemic. We'll end with that.